Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, hour number three of the program. We'll talk some Pelicans here. Fantasy football bottom of the hour and two-minute drill trivia. Your chance to square off against me. I reclaimed my throne last week against Chef Grego, a listener and resident Bengals homer last week. He actually beat me a couple of weeks ago, so he was the defending champ last week. I got my throne back last week. Crushed him by a single question, actually, I think. So we'll get to your calls in just a second, but let's bring on in Jake Madison here, Nola Jake, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast, who is at the Smoothie King Center tonight to see the Pelicans' coup de grace, Jake, in a winless preseason here. What's up, man?
Yeah, you know, 0-5 for the Pels, but, you know, it's preseason. It doesn't matter too much, right?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was trying to tell people in hour one, Jake, that the NBA's preseason falls somewhere in between baseball's spring training, which I actually think matters a lot, and the NFL's preseason, which doesn't matter one lick. Do you agree there?
Yeah, you know, in these games, you're not looking for wins and losses. You're looking for certain things that really jump out at you. Are certain players meshing well together? Is team chemistry being developed on the court? You're not necessarily even looking for guys to play hard. We've seen Anthony Davis kind of waltz through this preseason, though he did play hard tonight and actually put up numbers that show it. But overall, you just want to see guys kind of getting together and trying to feel like you're not starting from, you know, day one on the opening night of the NBA season, but developing that chemistry, something that you can carry go forward and help you get off to a good start.
I know we went over this last time we talked last week, but I'm still getting lots of questions here from listeners saying, hey, why didn't the Pelicans play more than one home preseason game? Did it just come down to money here, Jake?
You know, if I had to guess, it's probably that. Teams are responsible for scheduling their own preseason game. It's not set by the league. There's nothing like that. It's just you go out and you book your own, and they kind of did it this way. And I think they did this one because if you looked at the crowd tonight, there weren't a whole lot of people there. They're probably losing money on this. And again, it's preseason. It doesn't matter anyway. So I think they wanted to get one to show off the team to the home crowd. You saw the starters play significant minutes in this one. But this is also a dress rehearsal for the employees at the Smoothie King Center, different things like that, to get ready for opening night. I really think it's that. I wouldn't read too much into that or anything else.
Well, the starters you mentioned there didn't include Julius Randle, who off the bench, he continues to be, and this is what I think he will be, on a per-minute basis, one of the best big men in the league. 25 minutes, 20 points, 11 rebounds, 8 of 17 shooting. Do you think they'll continue to bring him off the bench once the regular season gets rolling?
Yeah, you know, Alvin Gentry said in his pregame availability that the starting lineup you're going to see is kind of the starting lineup they have penciled in to start. But it's done in pencil, and he said they're not married to any lineup. And when you look at this team, their top 7, 8, 9 guys, there's a lot of versatility there. And I think you'll see the starting lineup be Drew Holiday, Elfrid Payton, Etuan Moore at the 3 role, Anthony Davis, and a guy like Nikola Mirotic out there. And I think you'll see Randle continue to be the first guy off the bench. Depending on how they match up and what they need against certain other teams, I think you might see Randle start. I think he's a good start against a team like the Utah Jazz or the Washington Wizards that kind of have bruisier big men down low, and he's a guy that can kind of punish those type of players. But I think he's going to be coming off the bench. Ultimately, the key players are all going to be playing close to 36 minutes per game. You got 96 minutes in the front court. That's going to be split between Anthony Davis, Mirotic, and Randle, with spot minutes for a guy like Jahlil Okafor, who's basically a guaranteed lock to make the team at this point, and maybe a guy like Cheick Diallo, though he struggled in preseason. It doesn't really matter who's starting. It matters who finishes games. I think that remains to be seen because we haven't really gotten a good taste for that in preseason with the injuries out there, with the Pelicans playing a number of back-to-back games and just not playing guys in the second half of things. So a lot of this is still up in the air for our perspective, but I do believe the coaching staff kind of has a general idea of what they want to do going forward.
Well, you mentioned Elfrid Payton there, the other big-time newcomer, at least prominent newcomer to the team, is going to play the point. I thought he had a pretty good preseason. Not tonight, maybe. It was probably his worst preseason game, but he seems like that facilitator that that can play a lot of minutes. And I've been saying this, Jake, that I think he'll be better in the regular season than Rajon Rondo was through 82 games last year. Did you like what you saw in the preseason from Melford?
Yeah, overall, I thought his best game was last night against Miami Heat. He had 17 points in that game on something like 11 shots. This is a guy, and Alvin Gentry's touted this stat a number of times during preseason, that he gets to the rim better than almost any other guard in the league that's not named Russell Westbrook over there in Oklahoma City. That's good company to be in, certainly, and you can see it. He has a great first step and explosiveness to him, and he has good elevation that gets up, gets to the rim. I think you've seen him struggle in preseason a little bit just because he doesn't feel comfortable in this offense. He's a guy who can go out and he can score. Maybe not do a whole lot else, but he can score. But when you're out there with Anthony Davis, you feel the need to defer to him. You don't want the ball in your hands. You want to get the ball in his hands. He's one of the best players in the league. I think Elfrid Payton's trying to figure out, you know, the balance between being a scorer at times and being a facilitator and a distributor. And you've seen flashes of him doing both in this. He put up a near 5-5-5-5-5 stat line tonight. And if he does that on a nightly basis, I think the Pelicans would take it. I mean, he's distributing the ball. He's scoring enough to keep defenses honest. And he's shown enough on his three-point shot that you have to respect it a little bit. The fact that he defends better than Rajon Rondo does, and this Pelicans team thinks they have the best backcourt in the league between Drew Holiday and Elfrid Payton, and Payton was Defensive Player of the Year in college. You know, he has a ton of potential to exceed what Rondo brought to the team last year, at least in terms of on-the-court value.
Jake, wait, say that again. The Pelicans think they have the best backcourt in the league? That's what you're hearing from inside?
No, that's what the Pelicans players are openly saying.
Okay.
We don't expect them to say anything else.
I like that. Houston might have something to say about that, right?
That might want to talk about this a little bit more. But, you know, certainly when you really look around the league in terms of one and two starters right there, Drew Holiday's the top perimeter defender at the point guard position, and he can defend three, four positions if needed. When you throw picks on him, that's a dangerous thing to do. He can pull the chair out from under them immediately. And they feel Elfrid Payton has all of the tools, and he's just been on dysfunctional teams in the past. The Orlando Magic was just a mishmash of weird big men. The Suns were just everything's going wrong there, and he just fired their GM, which kind of speaks to that situation. They feel that now that he's in a good situation, it kind of unlocks him a little bit more. The pressure's not on him to be that guard stopper as he was in those other teams because he's here next to Drew Holiday, and it allows him to shine a little bit more, maybe against lesser competition at that starting spot. And I think that's kind of the way they look at it. But if you look around the league in terms of defensive backcourts, it's a little tough to maybe find teams that are better than the Pelicans, but that has more to do with Drew Holiday and at the level that he's played. And you saw it tonight. He had a number of steals that led to fast break points than it does have to do with Elfrid Payton.
Talking Pelicans here with Jake Madison, who's the host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. You can check that pretty much daily once the season gets started at Nola Jake on Twitter. 134-119 Pelicans lose tonight. It's in the Smoothie King Center, 0-5 in the preseason. But who else stood out to you in the preseason here, Jake, that we might not be talking about?
You know, I think the biggest name that's going to jump off the page is definitely going to be Darius Miller. This is a guy who, you know, was plucked from Europe last year after having stint in the NBA before that, and at one point was leading the league in three-point shooting percentage. He's been hot in all the preseason games that he's played, which hasn't been all of them. I think he was 6 of 8 the other night, and he fell back down to earth tonight. I think he was 0 for 6 from the field, but his three-point shot has been pretty consistent. The Pelicans do need a court spacer at that three role. They're starting each one more now, but he's a little bit undersized. He's 6'4 with a 6'6 wingspan. Darius Miller is 6'8, 6'8, 6'9 wingspan. That can help you defend a little bit more. If he gives you adequate defense and that kind of three-point shooting that he had last year and that he's shown in preseason, he might make a claim to be a starter at some point this season or earlier off the bench in the rotation than he would be otherwise.
Interesting. Jake, are you ready for the regular season, man?
It's come up sooner. You know, it's kind of weird that it's October 11th and we have a home game here, even if it is preseason. The Saints have only played, what, 4 games now. So it's early. It's happening. But I think this is good for basketball, and I cannot wait for them to open on, this coming Wednesday against the Rockets.
I know, man. Tuesday, you down for our little season preview, maybe? We'll get you on. I don't know what you're doing Tuesday. I don't know if you saw my text earlier. This is like pressure on air. It's like on air pressure.
Right outside of here, which is great. All of a sudden, I can't say no, can I?
Yeah.
Tuesday, we'll definitely do it, and we will talk some basketball. We'll talk some hoops. I think Scott Alexander might be there. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Good minds in one room. We are going to get people some season previews. They're not going to be able to get anywhere else.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Tuesday, a couple of hours of Pelicans and NBA preview. Tell everybody, if you can, how you can get Locked On Pelicans podcast and all that content that you put out there every day.
Absolutely. Locked On Pelicans podcast, the Monday through Friday, 5 days a week for you guys. The only podcast coming to you with that kind of regularity, giving you what you need to know on a daily basis, recapping the game the night before, previewing the game upcoming. What are the biggest storylines about this team? Where do they need to improve? Where are their concerns? All of that and more in the daily Locked On Pelicans podcast. Just find it wherever you get your podcast from. It's on iTunes. It's on Google Play. Any of the spots, especially on Spotify too, and you can tell your speakers to play Locked On Pelicans as well.
Yeah, indeed. It's part of my daily rotation there, and every Pelicans fan needs to get subscribed to that. Jake, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you Tuesday, man.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, Seth.
All right, Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Great follow on Twitter too. If you're on hold, we'll get to you coming back. I'm Seth Dunlap. This is The Last Lap. Ah, the Eagles about to make me 1-0 against the spread, 1-0 straight up this week. 21-point lead on the Giants, 34-13 with 4:26 to play in that one. Odell got a chance, a little fade in the right corner. Not a bad ball by Eli. Odell doesn't come down, and then he goes ballistic on the official. Saquon Barkley going off tonight, about 150 yards rushing, another 100 yards receiving. Rookie is special. I'll admit, I had questions just how special that he would be. I still don't think you take a running back in the top five of any draft because of their lack of longevity in the league, but I guess that's another story. Saquon certainly has been very good. I still wonder, though, you got a chance at a quarterback. I think you probably take that at number two if you're the Vikings, and they're really going to regret that here with the way Eli's playing. Let's go to the phone lines, 504-260-1870. We'll start it off with Jim on the Causeway. Welcome into the program, Jim.
Hey, Seth, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm fine. So I'm kind of picking up on your previous conversation about the college football playoff.
Let's do it.
So I've never heard this discussed before, but to me it always made a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. So you start the season with a top 25 and you progress throughout the year and you play bowl games. Why not carry the top 25 over? So at the end of 2018, you have a top 25. After all said and done, those top 25 teams start off in the same order beginning the next season. So what that does is all of a sudden...
Yeah, but I'll tell you, but Jim, the big flaw with that is it's college football and there's so much turnover. If you have a class with a bunch of seniors graduating or guys going off to the NFL, it's not going to be the same team.
I get that. But listen to what I'm saying.
Okay.
All of a sudden, it brings a lot of relevance to the bowl games. If you're number 18, Iowa, going to play in the Peach Bowl, and you can win and elevate to number 14, that's very relevant, and people are interested in that. If you graduate a lot of seniors, chances are you're going to lose the first game, and you drop out automatically. You know, you play your way out in that scenario.
I don't know. I don't know if I like that, Jim. I'm just being honest with you here.
Well, let's go with the UCF thing.
Sure.
So they finished 10. They finished number 10. They started number 10 the next year. All of a sudden, they got a chance to keep winning and elevate into that top four. Look, the top 25 now, before the season starts, is very subjective. You tell me how somebody can rank a top 25 based on nothing, no games, no nothing, just recruiting class, who they lost, whatever.
I'm with you there. I've always said that. I think that's subjective nonsense. So I'm 100% with you there. I just think that's a bunch of hooey, to be honest. But I mean, we're going to rank last year. I'm just looking at the final AP rankings here. We're going to rank UCF sixth in the country. We're going to rank Wisconsin 7th, TCU 9th in that order, Auburn 10. I mean, I don't know, man. I do get where you're coming from. I don't know if that's the fix, though. I just think it's too – I just don't like top 25s at the beginning of the season, period. Like, I don't. It's such a subjective line anyways. It's because we like nice, even numbers in a quarter of a century. A quarter of a hundred sounds like a nice, even number that we've always done. But that is so subjective. Like I say, and I've said, I said in an interview with Chris Vanini earlier, Kentucky, no matter how good they are this year, there is not a single person that would have put them in the top 25 at the beginning of the year because they're Kentucky. Because of their history or lack of it in college football. And that's, I know life isn't fair, but we're trying to be as fair as possible in sports, and that's just unfair. That's if we're really supposed to have an objective system here in college football, we got to figure it out. And that's why I said, the solution is so simple to me. It's not like it's that hard. All we have to do is add 1 week, 1 week to the season, and go with an 8-team playoff. That's it. It's not that huge of a fix here needed. You take the 5 Power 5 conference champions. So the actual gosh darn games on the football field would finally actually matter, because they don't. Conference titles don't matter right now. Your record really doesn't matter right now, because if you're a 2-loss Alabama team, I'll tell you what, you're probably still getting in this year. An undefeated, for example, I don't know, Indiana wouldn't get in over a 2-loss Alabama team. I know Indiana's not undefeated, I'm just using that as an example here. If you go to 8, you take the 5 conference champions, and then you have the regular season that actually matters, which college football has never had. I've never believed in this, oh, every game counts in college football. No, it doesn't. Every game doesn't count if you're at Kentucky or Indiana or Washington State or Colorado or Duke or Rutgers or wherever it is. It's never mattered. It matters for about, give or take, 15 programs in the country. There are 15 programs in the country that legitimately have a shot every year to win the college football title because of those suits in that smoke-filled room deciding all this stuff. It's nonsense. But I share your frustration here, Jim. I really, really do. We need a fix. Doesn't seem like the fix is that hard to me. I'll take a break here. Coming back with Scott Smith, talking a little fantasy football. Thanks for the call, Jim. I'm Seth Dunlap. This is The Last Lap on WWL. All right, welcome back to the program. Big day for Saquon Barkley fantasy football owners. Holy smokes, you're going to win this week just on the back of him. Let's bring in Scott Smith at SSmithFF on Twitter, fantasy football analyst and contributor at rotoviz.com. Scott, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Big week with me and you in the last league.
I know. I see I'm a very slight one-point favorite in this game we have this week, so I'll take those chances. If I'm a very slight mathematical favorite over you, I'll take it. It's not supposed to happen. It's not supposed to happen at all. You have Saquon in any of your leagues, man?
I do not have Saquon in any of my leagues, and like we've talked about in the past, I'm a little bit risk-averse through those first couple of rounds, and Barkley was a little bit of an unknown. Even as good of a talent as he was coming out, dealing with Eli and that offensive line, it was just a little bit of a risk I wasn't willing to take.
Interesting. What's on the waiver wire right now that people might need to be looking at?
You know, actually, on the waiver wire, we talked about tight ends and how hard it's been, like, to go ahead and look at the talent that's out there. But C.J. Uzomah from Cincinnati, I think he's a guy that I like. If you need a tight end filler, you know, you look at it, and especially this week, you know, versus Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's been giving up 24.5% of their fantasy points to tight ends. And you just look at what Atlanta did, and Austin Hooper had a career game against them. So he's a guy that I like. And, I think you got to start looking at Nyheim Hines is a guy that's out there on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues. And he's quietly, if you're in a PPR league, quietly on pace for 112 targets and 93 receptions right now.
Oh, wow. What are you doing with some of the guys who maybe are dealing with injuries that are going to keep them out a couple of weeks? I saw this question pop up on Twitter from me wanting me to ask you when we had you on today. And say you got a receiver who's banged up, concussion or whatever it is. He's out for a week or two. Are you adding and dropping that guy? Are you just stashing him? What are you doing? What's your strategy and philosophy?
You know, it just depends on where you're at. You know, you look at a guy like Leonard Fournette, and rumors are that the Jaguars are going to keep him out until probably week 10 is what they're talking about doing, especially with T.J. Yeldon playing so well. So if you have a guy like that, you have no choice but to keep him. You know, a lot of it's going to depend upon your league construction, whether or not you have IR spots. But sometimes when you get to, you know, maybe your wide receiver two or wide receiver three, you have some tough decisions to make whenever you're behind the eight ball trying to win some games. So it's very situational dependent as to where you're strong at and who's out there on the waiver wire. A guy that I just found on the waiver wire last week that I've been kind of high on based on matchups these last few weeks is Mohamed Sanu, who's been playing very well. So if there's a guy like that out there that you can get replacement value from, you know, sometimes you have to drop those players.
Similarly, I want to ask your philosophy on traditional stars in the league who have seen decline in play, and Larry Fitzgerald comes to mind here because he has just been, from a fantasy perspective, dreadful. He's always been that reliable guy you just plug in every single week, really, for, what, the last 13 years. He's no longer that, Scott. Is this somebody you're dropping right now? Or are you just waiting it out with what's going on in Arizona? What are you doing?
You know, I think he is a guy at this point in time that you can go ahead and drop. That coaching staff is one of the worst coaching staffs in the NFL. You look at how they're mismanaging and misusing, you know, Johnson right now, and I just – David Johnson's not the guy that he was, and he's a phenomenal talent. And Larry Fitzgerald, unfortunately, you're talking about a rookie quarterback who it's going to take some time for him to go ahead and get his footing. And Larry Fitzgerald at this point in his career is more of that slot timing route runner. And you know, if you just look at the production, he's had three or less receptions in these last four games. At this point in time, I do think he's droppable for a guy like Mohamed Sanu or, you know, a couple of these other wide receivers that are out there on the waiver wire that you might want to go ahead and take a chance on.
Interesting. Talking to Scott Smith here, fantasy analyst and contributor at rotoviz.com. If you have a question for Scott, you can text us at 870-870, your fantasy football question, or heck, give us a call at 504-260-1870. What about the Browns running backs here, Carlos Hyde and Nick Chubb? What are you doing there?
You know, Carlos Hyde, I actually wrote a quick piece for Fantasy Pros today that you can find on their website. Carlos Hyde right now is my sell high. He's actually, you know, right now he's a guy that I think is playing a little bit above his head. He's currently the running back 13 in PPR leagues. I think as the season wears on, I think Nick Chubb's going to start eating into some of his carries. And you've also got Duke Johnson there that kind of caps the upside as far as the receiving ability as well. So if you can float a trade out there and move Carlos Hyde for some significant pieces, I would go ahead and do so. And, you know, I'd try to look for a solid wide receiver too. And if you're looking for some targets, you know, guys that I might move Hyde for is Emmanuel Sanders or even Kenny Golladay.
And well, you just mentioned Kenny Golladay there. Is he your biggest surprise of the season so far?
No, he actually would not be my biggest surprise of the season. When you start talking about surprises, I think, you know, from a running back standpoint, you start looking at Philip Lindsay. You know, he's been a top 30 running back that was undrafted. You know, a lot of people started getting Freeman rising up into the early third rounds of a lot of drafts. And so far, it's been Philip Lindsay. He's outsnapped and outproduced Freeman almost every week, except for the 1 week where he got ejected from the game early. So he's a guy that I think you have to start taking for real over the last 5 weeks and for the rest of the season going on, especially with the way the coaches are using him.
Here comes a text from the 985. What are you doing with Tre'Quan Smith? Is he playable right now, Scott?
No, Tre'Quan Smith isn't playable. You start looking at his production, at least on one of the plays, it was just a broken coverage on the one that Drew Brees set the record on. I think you can go ahead and look at him. If you're in a dynasty league, he's definitely a stash. I would look for him to take over for Ted Ginn next year. But he's specifically going to be a splash play that's very, like, touchdown dependent. And, you know, just as far as the opportunity, I just don't think the target volume is going to be there for him to be consistent on any given week.
Another text from the 504, is Willie Snead a good flex for the bye week?
If you're in a PPR league, I do not mind Willie Snead as a flex, especially in deep rosters. He's averaging about 6 receptions a week and generally putting up in the 50 to 60 yard range. So if you have deep rosters where you're starting a guy, Willie Snead's not a bad play, and then you can expect between 11 and 13 points from him.
Interesting. Snow is supposed to be in Denver this week. Is this a week you're a little worried about some of those Rams players, that high-flying Rams offense?
You know, I just think with the Rams, and you talk about Sean McVay and Sean Payton are probably the two best offensive minds in the NFL right now. The one concern that you might have to have is looking to see whether Brandon Cooks and Cooper Kupp are going to clear the concussion protocol. And to me, that's just going to go ahead and elevate Robert Woods, who's had 80 yards or a touchdown in 8 of his last 10 games. So, you know, you start looking at that, and I'd play a lot of Robert Woods, and of course Ty Gurley is going to be a play. But as far as the team as an overall putting up points, I still think they're going to put up points even in Denver in the snow.
All right, you going to beat me this week, Scott?
Sure, man. I'm dealing with that Leonard Fournette problem as well. So it's going to be a close one, man. I'm doing it with smoke and mirrors right now. So we'll have to see who pulls it out.
I love this because I have Yeldon, I believe, in that league. I think I have him in that league, I believe, anyway. So this has benefited me greatly. I love it. Scott, always appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, man. Good luck.
All right, Scott Smith, at SSmithFF on Twitter, fantasy analyst. And you can find his work at rotoviz.com. Let's squeeze in a quick question here from Jason in Ponchatoula. Jason on the phone line. Welcome into the show.
Hey, Ted. Thanks a lot, man. I was wondering, you know, with the Chiefs really need to get another receiver. I think, you know, Mike Thomas is not enough to handle. I think we need to get someone from the state that, you know, can lead the team and so forth. And I was wondering if you thought that maybe Drake Davis would help out the Saints this year. Bring him on. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, come on, Jason. The Saints' wide receiving core is incredibly deep. They don't need to add anybody here. I couldn't really tell if you were messing with me there or not. Yeah, I know Drake Davis is, and I was. That's yeah. We'll leave it at that. I couldn't tell what the Tim wrote on here. Saints wide receiver ads, and I asked him, "What does Jason want to ask me? What's that? If you're going to sign any wide receiver?" I was wondering if you were messing with me, and you proved you were. So there you go. Hope that was worth a 30-minute wait on the phone line. We will take a break. So it's 2-minute drill time here. So you have a chance to challenge me, and as Chef Grego proved a couple of weeks ago, I'm pretty beatable here. We have a lot of fun with this. It's 8 questions, 2 minutes, sports, maybe a pop culture question or two in here of trivia. First caller gets a chance to take me on. 504-260-1870, 504-260-1870. We'll do that next. 2-minute drill coming up here on the last lap. Ooh, I'm actually a 3-point favorite over Scott Smith, so I have a little more breathing room here. I like this. All right, we've got a 2-minute drill trivia challenger on the line, and I initially thought this was the prankster Jason calling back in. This is not Drake Davis, Jason.
No, this is not. I'm from Covington, so don't confuse me with anybody pranking me.
Okay. All right, Jason. Well, you ready to go here? We have a lot of fun with this. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for competing, dude.
No problem.
All right. So this is completely above the board. I've lost this multiple times, so that probably speaks for itself. So Tim Zimmer, come on in here. Tim's our MC, our studio producer. I'm turning everything down here. Jason, have at it.
All right, Jason, I'm gonna give you 8 questions. I'm going to play the music. Once the music starts, you're just going to answer the questions, okay?
No problem.
All right, question number 1. Which NFL division going into week 6 has the least combined wins with a total of 8 wins so far between the 4 teams?
I will go with the AFC South.
That is incorrect. It's actually tonight's 2 teams, the NFC East. Name me 3 SEC teams that do not have a Heisman Trophy winner in their school's history.
Let's go with Kentucky.
That's one of them.
Missouri.
That's 2.
And let's go with Mississippi State.
That is right. There's actually a couple. Question number 3. How many NBA MVPs are currently active this upcoming season?
Oh, boy. I don't know. I'm going to have to guess. Let's say 2.
That is incorrect. And there's actually 7. Can you name me 5 of the 7 active MVPs in the league?
5 of the 7. Steph Curry.
That's 1.
LeBron James.
That's 2.
That's a rough one. Dwayne Wade.
That's incorrect. Yeah. All right, question number 5. Name me 5 quarterbacks who have thrown for over 30 touchdowns or more the last 5 seasons.
Oh, well, we'll have to go, of course, Drew Brees.
That's 1.
Aaron Rodgers.
That's 2.
Phillip Rivers.
That's three.
You need two more?
Just need two more quarterbacks who have thrown 30 or more touchdowns the last five seasons.
Ben Roethlisberger.
That's four.
And Tom Brady.
That's correct. That's your second one right. Question number six. Which of these quarterbacks has not thrown for 30 touchdowns in one season in their career? I'll give you the quarterbacks. You just have to pick the one that hasn't. Eli Manning, Blake Bortles, Andy Dalton, Alex Smith, or Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Eli Manning.
That's incorrect. Eli Manning threw for 30-something touchdowns in 2010, actually. All right, question number seven. The Brewers are in the NLCS. When was the last time Milwaukee was in the NLCS?
2007.
That's incorrect. They were in 2011. And the final question, who was their opponent in the NLCS? I'll give you a hint. They won the World Series that year.
2011, that would have been St. Louis Cardinals.
That's correct. All right, that is it. I'll have Seth come back on in the show.
All right. He gave me the thumbs up. Oh, Jason's on. Actually, you know what? I don't want to know how it went because I don't want to know my number here. I don't want to know good
okay.
or bad.
I mean, they were pretty tough questions.
It couldn't be any tougher than Logan. Logan was throwing like three or four like WWE wrestling questions at us every week.
I think
tough.
You have a shot here.
I have a shot? Okay.
Well, if you know NBA, you'll win this one.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I haven't been thinking about NBA the last couple of weeks. Well, really, the last couple of months. So I could be at a disadvantage here. I need to get my...
I did give the answers on when I gave it to Jason. So the listeners know the answers.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
All right, question number one. Which NFL division going into week six has the least combined wins with a total of eight between the four teams?
That's the NFC East.
That's correct. Now they have nine because they got – but I said going into week
yes.
six, so that's actually correct. Name me three SEC teams that do not have a Heisman Trophy winner in their school's history.
Kentucky.
That's one.
Vanderbilt. That's Vanderbilt. Two. I keep saying Vanderbilt because of Vanderbilt Catholic, high school football. Does Mizzou – I'm going to say Mizzou.
That's correct.
Right.
The other teams are Arkansas, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Tennessee.
All right. I like it.
Peyton never got one. Question number three. How many NBA MVPs are currently active this upcoming season?
Oh, boy. Wow. How many? Like, I need a number?
Active MVPs.
Whew. All right. So you've got Harden. You've got LeBron. You've got Durant. You've got Steph. That's four. Is there another one? Dirk. It's five. Is there another one? I don't think there's another one. Five.
That's incorrect. There's actually seven. The next question is name me five of the seven MVPs.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Well, there's five right there. The other two were Westbrook and also
oh,
James
Westbrook,
Harden.
Of course. No, I said Harden.
Oh, you said James Harden? Well, it's Curry, LeBron, Durant, Westbrook, Harden, Rose.
Rose, I forgot.
And
yep.
Nowinski.
Yep, there you go.
You got three out of four so far.
Yeah, Westbrook was an easy one.
Question number five, I think this is. Name me five quarterbacks who have thrown for over 30 touchdowns or more the last five seasons.
Five quarterbacks. So Russell Wilson, he was the leader last year.
That's one.
Obviously Drew Brees.
Two.
Tom Brady.
Three.
How many years?
Last five.
5 years, Peyton Manning.
Peyton is on there, yeah.
And who would be – has Stafford – the number's 30?
30 or more.
Or, well, Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers is on there, Wentz, right. Stafford, Cam Newton, Palmer, Luck, Rivers, Carr.
There you go.
Romo, Big Ben, and Peyton Manning.
There you go. Okay.
All right, and the next question, which of these quarterbacks has not thrown for 30 touchdowns? The ones I didn't name are on this question right here.
Okay.
Which quarterback has not thrown for 30 touchdowns in one season in his career? I'll give you the quarterbacks. You just named the quarterback who has not thrown for 30 or more touchdowns.
Okay.
Eli Manning, Blake Bortles, Andy Dalton, Alex Smith, or Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I feel like Bortles has because you wouldn't have thrown this out there. What were the other ones?
Eli Manning, Blake Bortles, Andy Dalton, Alex Smith, or Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I'm going to say Eli. Has Eli thrown for 30? I don't think Eli's ever thrown for 30. Eli
threw for 33, I think, in 2010.
Did Fitzpatrick never has that?
Fitzpatrick in 2015.
Oh, I don't know.
Blake Bortles, Andy Dalton, or Alex Smith?
Blake Bortles, Andy Dalton, or Alex. I think you wouldn't have thrown this in there. Bortles was the answer, so
Bortles
I'm going to say Alex Smith. Alex Smith.
Alex Smith has never thrown for 30 touchdowns.
Okay.
Dalton did it in 2013. I think Eli did it twice, actually. Question number seven, the Brewers are in the NLCS. When was the last time the Milwaukee Brewers were in the NLCS?
Oh, boy. Wow. 1987?
That's incorrect. They were in the 2011 NLCS.
Oh, they were?
And this goes to question.
I thought they lost in the divisionals then. Okay.
They won the divisionals, and they faced who was their opponent in the NLCS?
2011?
I'll give you a hint.
Well, it has to be. It was an odd year, so that has to be the Giants.
Well, I'll give you a hint. They went on to win the World Series.
Yes, the Giants, right? Because it was an odd year.
Actually, it was the St. Louis Cardinals. They beat the Texas Rangers that
year.
Wait,
I thought the Giants were winning all those odd year titles.
It might have started in 2013.
Okay. That's good. How'd I do?
Let's see. You got 1, 2, 3. You got 4.
The suspense.
You got 4.
How many
did
Jason get? Let's bring Jason back in. Jason. Oh, so close, Jason. Jason. Did you have fun? Thanks for competing, man.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
All right. Jason and Covington. Very close. What was like the decider? Did we all get like the same ones, right?
Well, you got the one with the NFC East. Y'all both got the Heisman Trophy winners. Y'all both got the 7 wrong MVPs. I think it was the name of the 5 of the 7 current MVP
all right.
candidates are players in the NBA.
Ah, well, I'll take it.
That's why I said NBA was so important.
I keep my title for one more week. Thanks again, Jason. Appreciate it. All right, final break of the show. We're coming back. Moment is in. Some highlights from tonight's Giants-Eagles game here on The Last Lap.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.